The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hello, artists. Welcome to another episode of The Unpublished Podcast. My name is Amy.
I'm James. And Amy, we said we would change our intro.
I'm so sorry.
And you keep doing the old intro.
You got to take control, James.
How am I supposed to work under these conditions?
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, today we're talking about our book deal.
Yeah, we're going to tell the story of how we got this beautiful, incredible book deal with Penguin to write a book that we are calling We Need Your Art, kind of a collation of all the writings that I share on Instagram and on the podcast.
I guess the purpose of this is that we've always wanted to be as transparent as possible with all of you about our writing, about the process of our writing. We've always wanted to not gatekeep these things. And the podcast is called Unpublished. So
yeah,
as some people pointed it out the other day, do we have to change the name of our podcast now?
But I resent that because I'm already published and we keep forgetting.
Sure. So you're already self-published. And I agree. And the point of the podcast is not that we are unpublished. It's that we were unpublished for so long. And it's from that perspective. And I think it's from that spirit of wanting to bring people along with us on our journey from unpublished to wherever we might go.
Yeah, definitely. It's just that journey of being a writer.
Yes.
So where do we begin?
I guess like we could begin years ago when you know, books often happen long before any paper is signed or...
Definitely. So I had the proposal for this book ready maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I just whipped up this proposal. I had written two proposals, one for a journaling book and one for this book, this sort of We Need Your Art book. So jumping forward, maybe, it probably would have been like 3 or 4 years till 2023. I check my spam.
Can I go back?
Okay.
I'm so sorry. So we wrote these proposals and in like 2020, when Amy had about 20,000 Instagram followers, and we were like, maybe we'll shop this around. But then we backed out at the last minute. So we were about to start shopping these proposals around. Actually, one was for a journaling book and one was for an art book.
I said that.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're just going to bicker this whole episode, aren't we?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I guess I was thinking about something else.
Yeah.
And we had these two proposals ready and we decided not to do it at the last minute. We decided to back out and publish ourselves.
Yeah. I even had an in-person meeting with a publishing house that I managed to somehow... like worm my way into, but yeah, we decided last minute the pandemic hit and we said, okay, well, we're going to publish this ourselves, and that ended up being for The Procrastinator, for The Perfectionist, and for The Burnt Out Artist. So three kind of short 30,000 word books instead of this big book that I was intending to sell to a publisher.
Yes, and the big book that we were wanting to sell had those topics in mind, but they were much more and actually the proposal looks a lot more like what the book that we wrote ended up looking like.
Yeah,
the book
definitely.
That we wrote recently ended up looking like. Whereas the three shorter books that we wrote really don't look anything like the proposal.
No, they don't, not at all. Anyway, so we were, intending to write this book. It didn't end up happening. We did some self-published smaller books. But in probably June or July of 2023, so we've just moved to England, I check my spam in my spam folder in my Instagram, which I occasionally do because it's a terrible algorithm. It can never get it right. It's either all the porns in your main inbox or all the important net messages are in the spam.
Yeah, so much penis enlargement in the main inbox.
Yeah, but the publishing deal from Penguin was in spam. No. So Ashwin, the commissioning editor of Penguin Australia, had DM'd me. And he just said, hey, would you be interested in a chat? And I think, fuck, I checked my spam. He doesn't know this, I don't think. I didn't tell him he was in my spam.
And also there was like a period of a few days where I don't think we replied because Amy was like, I think it is spam.
I think it's spam. I think it's actually spam.
I think someone's trying to spam me by saying like that they're this big shot editor and that I should, you know, meet with them when I think they're trying to get something out of me or something.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we did some research and we found out that this was a legitimate
Ashwin was a very real editor at Penguin Australia. And we began conversations with Ashwin in Australia. Then, like, what would I say? Like 2-3 weeks later, we had this like crazy day. And the day began by me saying out loud, fuck, I'm just explaining the whole day because it was a cool day. Fuck, I really want Seth Godin to be on the podcast. And then I said it out loud to my stories on Instagram. And within like an hour, I had an email from an incredible artist who said, I've just written an introduction to Seth and you can chat with him. And within another hour, Seth Godin had replied to me. And I was like absolutely spinning. And I was like, James, we've got to do something with this energy. Let's sit down and record a podcast. And so we recorded a podcast together. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, great. That kind of like channeled my energy. And then you look at your phone from support and you're like, there's another big publisher in here that is asking for a book proposal from you.
I just touched one of Amy's dirty tissues just on like to stim.
Both of us are very sick.
And yeah, I got Amy sick after my chest infection and my cold. Amy is now sick, unfortunately.
Don't find something else to play with.
Yeah, good idea.
There's an empty toilet.
It was disgusting. I want to wash my hand now, but
I'm
keep going.
I'm so sorry. Can we name that publisher?
I think maybe that's not.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there was another incredible email from another editor saying we'd be really interested in working with you. And we were just like, we had to go on a walk. Like, it was just one of those days. It felt so fucking incredible. I felt so excited. I'm connecting with incredible creative people. And it was wild. And this publisher invited us to come into London and have an in-person meeting, which we did. And it was the most beautiful experience. Like, that editor is someone who I like really hope we get to have, you know, meetings with in the future and get to connect with in the future, because that meeting was so fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think something that we weren't prepared for was that everyone we talked to was fucking so cool.
Like, a legend, yeah.
It was like, we ended up basically just having all these amazing interactions, and everyone we talked to, we were blown away by. And we were like, yeah, that's the most amazing person. You know, oh, I would love to work with that person, love to work with that person. It was like, it was crazy.
It was crazy. It was like, I just felt so overwhelmed with like people who just fucking loved my work and believed in my work. Yeah. And that was so beautiful. That was also the cool thing. Loved books. And I was like, everyone's a fucking legend.
Yeah. It was a cool thing. It was people were coming to Amy, not going, oh, like, I saw you're an Instagram person. Like, what do you do again? Yeah. Like, convince us. They all came with a vision, and they all came knowing Amy's work and being like, you know, you'd meet with them and they would name a post that Amy did 6 months ago or something and be like, I loved that post, or
yeah,
this thing you said, or this thing you said. They knew all about our business, like they knew all about everything we were doing, like they all listened to multiple episodes of the podcast.
Yes, that was funny.
Like, you said on the podcast the other day and stuff, and so we were just getting hit by this, like, you know, we thought when this happened to us it would be kind of a cold business transaction. Yeah. And it ended up being kind of like
extremely personal.
Yeah.
And I felt extremely seen, which for me was very healing, and it felt very collaborative. Whereas my experience with publishers in the past has always been, you know, feeling not seen or feeling, like it's not going to be a collaboration, like I was going to be bought.
Yes.
And this has felt so collaborative, and it's felt so respectful and so exciting.
I think, you know, for us, it's such a privileged position because we were approached by publishers, which I think something happened. I don't know what happened, but I think that this is my theory, and I can't back this up with anything, that there's some kind of risk analysis algorithm going in the back end of these publishing houses, and your engagement and your following size reached a certain point where the algorithm went off or something.
Like some bells went off, because I've never, ever had a publisher approach me before this.
And then we ended up being approached by a third publisher as well.
Yes, I had three publishers approach me in a matter of months.
Yeah.
And I've never been approached before, ever. No, by anyone.
No one cared about Amy.
No one gave a flying fuck about me for 9 years of this Instagram sharing journey.
And which is why, you know, and we were intending to keep self-publishing.
Of course. And we will keep self-publishing. But yeah.
I think that offer of collaboration, like once we saw what a cool collaboration it would be, and all of them asked us, you know, you've spoken at length about your problems with gatekeepers. You know, do you think you're going to be able to work with us? And we were like, judging by these conversations, I feel like we can collaborate really well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I want to speak more to that as the story goes on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got, from out of nowhere, we had no publishers, and then we've got two big, big publishers wanting a book from us. I'm like, you know what we need? We need an agent immediately.
And mind you, nothing's set yet. So like the editorial teams had approached us, but they still had to sell to the rest of the business. So yes. Nothing was set in stone.
Yeah, no. So me and James whipped up some proposals essentially and sent them out to, you know what James did? I will always remember this. I was like, kind of like, oh my god, James, this is so exciting, but like, what the fuck's going on? And James hyper focused and spent hours finding agents that were appropriate and who were looking to represent people who did work like this.
Yeah.
And you gave me this big Excel spreadsheet, and I sat down and I just wrote like 30 emails. And that's how we found Amanda, my agent.
Do you know what's crazy though, is that even with Amy's You wanted to
No, you go.
Is that even with following the size of Amy's, you don't want to talk about this?
No, so you go, no.
Okay, even with following the size of Amy's, even though we had direct interest from two publishers at this point, we still only heard back from three agents.
Yeah.
Like, the other 27 ghosted us.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
All their books were open. Like, they were looking for someone with Amy's profile.
Yeah.
Only three of them. And that's, I mean, it's just crazy to me.
But I've seen emails come in later.
Right.
But they just took them so long.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda was looking for this book.
Yeah.
And she so explicitly said so. And we had a meeting with another agent but Amanda, that there's something really special about her, and I love her.
Yeah.
Like, I actually love her.
It was another moment of like, it would be fun to collaborate with this
person.
It'd
be so fun to collaborate her with her background in like PR work, and she fucking loves book. Like, she has a fucking bookstagram, like, and she's so well read, and I don't know, we really connected and clicked.
Yeah, when we went into a lot of these meetings, we decided to ask a lot of questions of the people that we were meeting with, and a lot about books and what books they liked and why. I thought that was a really good way to get to know these people as well.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And Amanda had some really great answers. We asked her, like, her whole book, I don't know if she's taken it down now, but her Goodreads was on her agent page, and like, we'd gone through and stalked her Goodreads.
Yeah, it was
like,
great.
Why did you give this book a 3-star? Why did you give this a book a 2-star? Why did you give that book a 5-star? Like,
so it was so much fun.
Mm.
Also, like, super agreed with her on a lot of her opinions of like latest books, and it was just really, it felt really great.
What did you want to say to me when you were smiling at me before?
No, that's good. That's good.
Okay, you're happy, happy with what I was doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just secret husband and wife communications that the husband has absolutely no idea.
I was not picking up on the vibes. What is going on?
So we got Amanda on board, which was amazing. And we were definitely going to need her, because if it was going to end up with a negotiating between two publishers, like, we got no fucking clue. We've got no fucking clue what the fuck we would do. And watching Amanda negotiate these deals, and it ended up being quite complex. Like, thank God we didn't do it alone, because lol at whatever deal we would have gotten.
Totally. And also, like, the language in the contract.
The language in the contract is fucked up.
It's crazy.
James spent ages looking at the contract, which was huge. And like, because I was like, fuck this, whatever, this is so dense. But it was so technical.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I looked at the contract. I didn't understand anything. I was like, maybe I should read this.
Yeah.
Just in case they're like, we own the rights to your second child. And it's like, joke's on you, probably not going to be a second child.
Anyway, what happened next? Amanda's on board.
And then it was just like us deciding
back
and forth. And I mean, Penguin really upped their game. Like, Penguin, so it got passed from Australian Penguin to UK Penguin to US Penguin. So it kept getting passed up the chain. By up the chain, I mean like each outfit was bigger, because Penguin US is the biggest branch of Penguin. So eventually it got to the US, and the wonderful Meg was just amazing. And like,
yeah,
really,
we had a meeting with Meg, my editor in the US,
and she was incredible. And
then we got Laura, the Penguin editor from the UK, came up to Oxford, made breakfast with her. Like, Penguin really put on their A game. But I mean, so did the other publisher, and I was obsessed. Like, we were, you know, it was just really difficult. Honestly, it was a really difficult decision. And then Amanda just said, basically, you know, last offers.
Mm.
And Penguin really came to the table.
Mm.
And also, I fucking loved Laura, Ashwin, and Meg. Like, I get to have three editors, which is amazing. Meg's the primary editor, but like, we went in and saw Laura in London the other day. We had tea with her. She's a fucking legend. I love her. Like, I just love these people.
Yeah, I think that was the big advantage Penguin had, was that it was offering a team, and it felt like a team.
Yeah, and like, all these people like love my work and back my work, and it just feels so beautiful, and I feel so held, and right now it feels like in a really good position.
Yeah, and then after that, so then we signed in, I don't know.
We signed in September.
Yeah.
I had a call in from JFK when I was over in America, and then Amanda was like, I'll ring you as soon as you're home with the final offer, and then we were like, yep. And then it took fucking forever for them to put their contract together, didn't it? We signed in November or something.
We were already half done with the book.
Yeah, we were. I'm really sorry, I'm going to cough.
That's okay. So we had an offer in September, and we didn't sign until November. But all the while we were working on the book.
Yeah, and we had a meeting with Meg. Like, I mean, it was lol if they would have retracted that contract, because we were like nearly done with the book by the time we signed.
And they were like, basically they gave us 3 months to write the book.
Yeah.
So to clarify as well, we had beefed out our proposal a lot. I think it was 10,000 words. It went from like No, it was sent out. I think it went from 2,500 words to 7,500 words.
Yeah.
For the editorial team to then present to the rest of the business to see if they wanted to buy the book.
Yeah, the Penguin had to sell it, and the other publisher had to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, you suck.
I suck.
And anyway, so then we had 7,500 words, and we had to get to between 60,000 and 70,000 words in 3 months. So we got to work.
We did.
And then all of our training.
Yeah.
It felt like the culmination of years and years and years of preparation. It did.
And I've spoken to so many people who were like, you know, so many other authors who were like, 3 months? Like, this is what I'm made for.
Yeah.
This is our training. I'm done. It was easy for me to say yes to a 3 month space for a 70,000 word book.
Yeah. And this also, that's 3 months, like, not for a first draft. That's 3 months to make it as good as we can make it by ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I think has been interesting in communication with publishers, is that it was quite back and forth with Meg. I was like, so you want a first draft by January 15th? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, so like trying to understand that for the first draft, to get to the editor is not the first draft.
No.
It's like, it's our sixth draft.
Yeah.
That means that James has looked at it 3 times and I've looked at it 3 times.
Yeah. So Amy wrote the whole first draft in like a month and a half, maybe. So
yeah.
As in, Amy wrote 60,000 words in a month and a half. And I came through, she would send me each chapter as she was done straight to me, and I would immediately edit it. So by the time Amy was finished the first draft, we'd actually done 2 drafts.
Yeah.
And then I went straight to three. And then by the time she finished 3, we'd actually done 4 because I'd come through behind her.
It was amazing.
And so we just got 6 drafts done in the time that would take you to do 3 drafts, which was really good.
Amazing. And how would you have described the editorial relationship between us?
Adversarial.
Very adversarial.
It's funny. I think we've talked in the past about how, because I feel like we have one brain,
yeah,
I can just be so blunt with you, and that's probably not what I should do.
I mean, to be honest, I think most of the time it's worked super well.
Mm-hmm.
Standout times, though, the time that I gave you the coronation chapter straight up, and you became so upset because it was so bad, like the distress that chapter gave you.
I think I felt a bit resentful because you knew that I was going to be coming through editing, so you were like putting absolute drivel on the page at one point, and I was like, this isn't fair to me. This isn't fair. It's not actually readable. Like, there's crappy first drafts, and then there's Amy dot pointing down ideas.
I just wanted
with, you know, ending sentences ending halfway through, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, that's just disrespectful for me coming. And it's like handing someone a big pile of cords that have all been tangled up and being like, can you untangle these cords for me, please?
We had to have a regroup. I haven't had a go. We had to have a regroup there.
Yeah.
So I gave him more acceptable prose.
Because I knew you could. And that's what annoyed me. Is like, I felt like I knew you could produce a better first draft than this, but you were like, James will fix it.
I do sometimes can be like that.
And lots of notes that just said, James, fix this.
James, help.
James, help.
We've tried to screenshot a lot of the notes that were left to each other because they were amusing.
Very amusing.
But I feel like you know my mind so well, and I know your mind so well. It has been an incredible collaborative project.
I mean, this is the 5th book we've worked on together, non-fiction.
Yeah.
So that this, it was just like just very, getting back into the group. It didn't feel, even though it's a quote unquote bigger deal, it just felt like us getting
it did.
Doing our normal work,
which
was so nice.
I want to talk about how, so I upped my daily word count is normally 500 on a first draft, but now it was, and my minimum was 1,000 words a day with a maximum of 2,000 words a day, and I was hitting in between that normally pretty much every day.
Yeah, you were a machine. Like, I was worried you weren't going to be able to keep it up, but you went into that mode. And as I said, it's like years and years preparing.
Yeah.
And it's not something I would recommend someone do.
No, it was like I prep for this. I trained for this.
Yeah, you have trained for this for years, and you did your big push.
Yeah.
You did your marathon sprint.
Yeah.
Push. Are you,
great.
Doesn't make any
there's
sense.
There's a lot of words there.
You sprinted towards your marathon.
Wait, did I?
No, I don't know. You just pulled out. You did an intense training program.
Yeah, I did.
And you just did it. Like, you just fucking did it. And it was so amazing to watch. Like, you just, you know, you were careful with yourself. You gave yourself lots of treats. You took yourself out to cafes. And you had you had days off and stuff. But it was still like, no, I'm just going to write 2,000 words a day.
Yeah.
Or 1,500 words a day.
And
they are
going to
be pretty crap words at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, we shaped it and we're really happy with what we ended up with.
Yeah, she's still obviously not ready, and I'm very excited to get some feedback, but I think there's some incredible stuff in there. I'm very excited about
that's
it.
That's when we ended up being like, no, this is ready to hand in. And we handed it in like 3 weeks early in the end.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, I could change this, but I don't know.
Yeah. We needed some extra eyes.
We just left a note. We just left notes. Been like, yeah, thinking about moving this to here, or thinking about adding a bit about this. Not sure if it'll fit. What do you think?
Yeah.
Etc. Amy, can you fix the computer for me?
I can fix the computer for you. There you go.
That's some high production value just there.
Yeah, so an amazing, amazing process. So we handed it in on the 12th, so like 4 or 5 days ago. And it, yeah, it was good.
Amy immediately got sick.
Oh,
the next day. He was like, I don't know if there's any biological basis to this, but it's like your body was holding it off.
Maybe like a cortisol thing. Maybe cortisol prevents.
And then you just.
Anyway, I got real sick. And then I had the big masterclass.
Yeah.
It's been a few days.
Even like you semi held it together for the masterclass.
I did.
And then by Sunday, you were just.
Cooked. Yeah, it's a real bumhole.
Yeah.
I feel like we've missed out on some other things to talk about. Oh, I was going to talk about how Laura, and I wrote about this in my announcement, Laura, my English editor, was saying, I felt so seen by everyone we're working with. She was like, you would have written this book whether we were here or not. You know, they really understand where we're coming from and the independence and the freedom and the issues that we have with the systems. And we've had good conversations around it. And it's felt very aligned.
Yeah, I agree. It's been really lovely. It's been nice to have some collaboration. It's been nice to have a team.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the process has been very me and Amy so far since starting the book, like for the last few months.
Yeah.
But it's been nice to know that there's been people there barracking for us and rooting for us. Haven't really had before.
No, we've never had.
Obviously,
that.
You guys are all there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rooting for us, but people who are directly invested in how well this does.
They've put their neck out on the line for us, and it feels good for them to have a buy-in.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the questions?
Can I have a few more things to say,
So sorry to push you
And on. One is, the more we've been doing this project, the more we've been writing, we've been thinking about the idea that, like, we do really enjoy this process. So many writers are like, no, it's shit to write and it's great to have written.
I hate it.
And yes, of course, there were times in the process where we probably would rather do something else, or... Yeah, we were stressed about the quality of the work, or
yeah, frustrated.
Progress or frustrated.
My most common unpleasant feeling is deep frustration when I can't figure something out.
Yeah, but it's also very extremely rewarding.
Oh my god,
and fun,
incredibly rewarding.
And it was a great experience.
And I learned
do again.
So much, and I clarified so much, and yeah, it was incredible. I loved it. I actually loved it. The last 3 months, 4 months have been so beautiful. September, October, November, December. Yeah.
Yeah, we took 10 days off over Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been, I would love to do it again.
Me too.
I'd love to do it over and over again.
Me too. This would be good.
And we had a great routine. Like I still had my bath in the afternoon.
Yeah, we had a real, like,
we both wrote fiction in the morning.
Yeah, I kept up my fiction until the last month where I prioritized nonfiction.
Yeah, well, once you get into the editing phase, you get really, it's hard to, it's really draining on your brain.
It is. Like, my brain had very little power. I find editing very challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
My only big crisis I had, which was on the perfectionist chapter, fucking kick me in the dick. I'm done talking about perfectionism.
And that's what we were going to say, is that interestingly, the three chapters we struggled with the most were the three that we've written books about
perfectionism
before.
Procrastination, and burnout.
Really tough for us.
Really tough chapters. I think just there was a fatigue there. I've written 30,000 words on each of them.
And also, we wanted to write something kind of new as well. We were so actually, in the beginning, we were doing basically just basing it off the old books.
I know. And I had to really change it.
It just didn't work because we were so bored of it. So they're both, all three are now completely new. So if you have read those books...
Yeah,
you probably get
some of the sentiments, obviously, still there.
Some of it's still there, but like I feel like there are new ideas and new concepts.
Yeah, definitely. They were so hard, those chapters. So yeah.
Yeah.
So exciting.
It's also, I enjoy doing the research too. There's so much exciting research out at the moment.
I mean, that was almost the best part. Was we got to sink a lot deeper into like the studies and discourse behind a lot of these conversations.
And I think, you know, we'd already, something that made this very possible was that we're such consistent readers.
Yeah.
That we had done 90% of the research in
we
the
had.
Past. It was just a matter of
we
going,
just
back,
recalled
to the,
it.
Going
yeah.
back to the books, finding the references, finding exactly what they said.
And the two big ones, I think, for this book, and they were both new reads that really excited us, was obviously Your Brain on Art and Choke Point Capitalism. Both of those two books were like very exciting.
Yeah, but we were able to, I think, get a lot out of those two books because we hadn't been Like, we didn't have to also read 50 other new books.
Yes.
It's like we could just refresh ourselves on 48
yeah,
other books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we could dive into those too. Yeah.
And I know that, like, there's some... Tim Ferriss has a phrase, which is, you're better off having just-in-time information than just-in-case. But in this case, I'm glad that we had our just-in-case information about certain things.
Like, I'm glad what that do we... you mean by that? What does he mean?
So he's like, don't read books because you think it might be useful later.
Oh, right.
Wait till actually you know it's going to be useful before you read it.
I don't know. I disagree.
Because I've always just followed my curiosity
yeah,
with reading.
Yeah.
So the things I was curious about form my worldview, which is what we write about and what you write about and Inspired to Write. And that's what we got given the book deal for.
Yeah.
So.
No, I disagree with Tim.
Yeah. I can see how I can understand how you don't want to chase down every rabbit hole just because you think you should.
Yeah.
Often what I think I should read is because I'm, like, interested in reading it.
Yeah. So, I mean, your compass is curiosity, and I love it.
Mm.
There's very little deviating you from that.
Yeah. So there's still a long road to go.
Very
long road to
go.
We still have our edits to come back, probably not for another month or two.
Yeah.
So
now we're off.
And the book won't be out till January.
Kill me.
Probably
really
next year.
Me. That was the one thing I kept bringing up in both conversations with both different publishers. I was like, I don't like the wait. Like how much longer. And initially they said September. And I was like, I can deal with that. But then they pushed it to January.
Yeah.
So January 2025. So I really need... first of all, the response I got and the emails and the love and the messages that I got when I announced this, I just need to say thank you. I'm so fucking grateful. And I felt so much love. Like, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for you. Please keep the enthusiasm for a whole year so you can buy it next year.
Hopefully we have the pre-orders out midway through the year.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny. Apparently it's an absolute lightning fast turnaround for most books.
Like, I know, they were like, we're really pushing this one. I was like, what the fuck is happening in your industry? What are you all doing?
Most people are 2 or 3 years, I think, between signing their contract and their first book coming out. So, or maybe like 2 years, 18 months. So we're looking at more like just over 12 months. So that's good. But still.
I don't like it. I like things to be manifested after I've done it.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And that's the thing is that, like, we would have probably maybe, like, hired a professional editor to go through what we'd go
through. Focus on other things. We've got lots of other projects that we can work on.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's been just really, really fun and very joyful experience so far. And we will keep you up to date with it.
Something else I wanted to be transparent about was that even though we are getting paid to do this book, even though we've received some of our advance already, like, we are trying to keep the rest of the business going as it was before.
Oh my God, yes, that's been really important to us. Mm. Something I didn't know, I don't know how I've ever managed to miss this information, is that advances are paid in normally four chunks. So you get a quarter of your advance when you sign,
mm-hmm.
a quarter of your advance when you hand in your first draft, a quarter of your advance...
A release
and then 1 year after release.
Or
when it goes to paperback.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. That's something I learnt. But yes, so what we are trying to do is, well, it's literally just business as usual.
Yeah.
We're still doing and we're going to be creating and connecting in all the same ways with our business as we were going to before. I think it would have been, you know, our choice to just be like, yay, finally, we can now just write books.
But there's no promises there.
There's no promises there. And I want, you know, an element of control. And I've never wanted my creativity to be solely in the hands of gatekeepers.
That's the thing, is that I want us to be able to support ourselves outside any book deal, basically. Like,
yeah, it gives me the greatest freedom to be able to do it on my own without gatekeepers.
So book deals are just, any mainstream, you know, traditionally published book is just a... We kept using the phrase side quest.
Yeah, it's a side quest.
It's important. Like, it's a side quest we might enjoy and like to do and want to make sure the outcome is good.
Yeah.
But it's not... The main quest is what we've been doing before.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the main quest.
Yeah, and I really think that's been a really good way for us to view it.
Yeah. So
that we can keep the power in where we are.
And this is not financial advice in any way. And
no.
Amy and I have been having a bit of a debate about this, but we are pretty much planning to save all the money we make from the book so far.
Yeah. I mean, me and James have had a real financial awakening in the last 6 months. England really fucking tore us a new one. Like, this country is so expensive. And we've had to kind of had a come to Jesus moment about finances and stuff and talking about our finances and just being big boys and girls about our finances. And this has been a part of this discussion, is what do we want to do with the advance money? And I think, yeah, we're choosing to, like, kind of invest it in, like, future or us.
Yeah,
and save it.
Set us up for future,
yeah.
Know, we don't have it because of the life we've chosen to live. We don't have any retirement savings. Yeah. So, you know, things like that. Just regular savings like buffers and emergency funds. And
also making sure that, you know, if you know, things aren't as quick as we like it, that we can still keep writing and we can still keep, you know, sharing our books in the future so that we're not dependent on getting that next book deal and the stress of getting a next book deal.
Totally, totally. And it's like setting yourself up when you have money coming in so that you can be safer when you don't have money coming
in. Yeah, exactly.
Is the idea.
And because we're authors, it is an up and down, ebb and flow kind of situation. Totally. And small business owners.
Totally, yeah.
Which is why I think, and James says we have a fight. It's just like sometimes I'm like, fuck, this is a boring fucking conversation after we've just had the biggest win ever. I'm like, can't we do something fun?
Of course. And I think that I like that Ramit strategy of, you know, you
Ramit Sethi.
You spend 5 to 10% and you save the rest. Or you invest, save or invest the rest.
Yeah.
Of a windfall.
Of a windfall, yeah.
Which I think would be good.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's what we're planning to do probably.
Yeah. We're just gonna make some choices.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've always been proponents of multiple income streams. So I think for in terms of, you know, people often talk about quitting your day job. For what would that even mean for us? Like, our day job is something already is already creativity. So it's like,
our day job is the best.
We don't have a day job, but, you know, books is not our day job. The coaching is not our day job. The podcast is not our day job. It's all just sort of life.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep doing life.
Which is such a fucking blessing. And I'm me and James have just looked at each other so many times throughout these last like 6-7 months and just been like, this is the fucking best. Like, we are so grateful. And we just get to live the most beautiful, enchanted, storytelling life. And I'm so happy.
It's awesome.
Not that it hasn't been stress.
Yeah.
I've cried a lot as well. But totally. Yes, it is so beautiful.
Totally. Do you want to do some questions?
I would love to.
I mean, mostly it's just been people being nice. These are questions that people on the unpublished podcast asked. The first one is, when did you start querying and how long did you have to wait? I think we've answered that. You know, we did query once, like in 2020, and then we self-published. So we didn't query at all after that. So we self-published and four books.
And then we were approached.
And then we were approached. So I think that's what we often say is like, let them find you working is often a good strategy. So we worked away. We sold our own books. We built the audience. We got to a point where we were considered to be experts in the space.
Yeah.
When I say we, I mean Amy.
Yeah.
And eventually, and this obviously won't always happen, but eventually after 10 years of doing that, we were approached.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened.
It felt good. Like, I've thought about pitching and this book that I wrote, like, again, in more recent years. But it frustrated me, the idea of, and this is like an issue that I have to work through. I don't think there's anything wrong with this at all. But like, having to ask and having to be like, do you want this? Do you want this? Like, I'm like, I know that I have something so good to give. And to be approached was a very, you know, gratifying feeling to have people recognize it and come to me rather than having to go through the process of submissions all over again was incredible for me.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in submissions again for fiction. And it's been a very different experience.
Mm, yeah. The next question is, how long did it take from book idea to book deal? You know, similar thing. It was really 5 years since we thought of this book, but it's only been now that we've been approached to write it, essentially.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, when publishers approached us, we had two proposals, right?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. And we were like, which one do you want?
Which one? Like, instantly, we're like, well, here you go, bam. Like, within an hour.
Yeah, here's our two proposals. Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm guessing that looked cool.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. It was really fun. And I remember sitting here, Pat, our friend, was with us, and we were like, we hadn't looked at the proposals for maybe 3 years. We were like, let's go through them. We got Pat to proofread it.
We had like a two-day sprint where we
buffed them out and then just sent two proposals. And also, I worked harder on the journaling one. You worked harder on the We Need Your Art one. And Pat was just proofreading all of it. And initially, Penguin wanted the journaling one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck you, James, suck it. But
the other publisher was interested in the We Need Your Art one. So then I was like, I got a point back, Amy.
Anyway.
When I say that we worked harder on, it's like we probably did 60-40 and then flip it for the other one.
Yeah. It was interesting.
And to be clear, with the book, Amy wrote, you know, the entire, you know, 60,000 word first draft. It was the majority of her work. I just came through and added a sentence here and there and changed some things around.
You'll be able to tell. Jamesy is there's a voice there, and I think we discuss James a lot, and he comes in with so much of the study and the meat behind a lot of these ideas, and I'm so grateful for that.
That's very nice of you to say,
James. You're so smart.
Thank you.
I was going to say something else. I don't know.
And then someone else says, congratulations. How are you celebrating?
Oh, that's so lovely.
And that's something that I think, like, it's been hard for us because we've been trying not to make it as too big a deal. Like, we've been trying to keep saying to each other, side quest. Don't want to over celebrate. Like, we don't want to be like, great, let's, we've made it. Like, we just want to make sure that we are appreciating it while we're in it. We just want to make sure that we are enjoying it while we're in it. And that's almost like our celebration.
Definitely.
Like, knowing that we are living some of the most fun moments of our life right now.
We also did things like, I made James, you know, simple things. Like, I made James get champagne. I handed the champagne to Pat. It was really nice having Pat with us for a lot of these celebrations. And I was like, pop it. And then I want you to do a speech for me. Yeah. You know, like, and like, as I said, like, telling people has been so nice. Mm. Some people who have been rooting for me and just loving me so hard throughout this very long journey, and getting to tell them has been really lovely. And there's, and you know, the pride that I feel from our friends and from our family, it's been really beautiful.
Yeah, I think we have this idea that celebration has to be doing something different, but it was more just us grounding ourselves and knowing,
being very present,
being
almost
present, and just making sure we enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah, it's been the best. It's been the best.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, and everyone else has just been really nice and saying nice things to us. So thank you for your nice words.
Thank you so much. So grateful. Our mics are being absolute.
The good mics as well. The good mics are betraying us.
So we have to leave. We have to leave because these mics are being poop-poop on me. Yeah. But we're really, honestly, like, I cannot tell you how absolutely in awe and with gratitude I am. Like, thank you so much for loving me and supporting both of us on this journey. Like, it means everything, and I'm just crazy grateful.
Yeah, we literally owe our entire life pretty much directly to the people listening to this.
Yeah.
So
thank you for letting us do what we love.
Yes, thank you so much.
We'll see you next week, babies.
See you next week. Maybe.